Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to another weekend bonus episode of the Tech Meme Ride Home. I'm Brian McCullough. So as I said on Friday, my goal this week was I wanted to learn more about the whole EV space. Yes, there's Tesla, but we only ever talk about Tesla. And remember, I got turned on to the whole SPAC phenomenon because it turns out a lot of EV startups are going the SPAC route to get themselves publicly traded stocks that they hope will go all hockey stick like Tesla stock has. So I reached out to Martin Lee of the EV News Daily podcast to help fill in the blanks for me. If you're into the whole EV space, check out the EV News Daily podcast. As I mentioned, it's a daily, just like this podcast is. But if you're into electric cars, self-driving cars, basically the modern automobile industry, Martin has you covered absolutely comprehensively every day. My thanks to Martin for this great chat. Martin, we talked offline. You do a show that talks about everything EV, not just Tesla, but So I brought you on here, as we said offline, specifically to talk about things other than Tesla, the entire EV space. But we gotta at least set the table a little bit. So what's your, because I don't know if you know, but I have the Tesla Daily guy on now and again. He's obviously, you know, a Tesla diehard. From your perspective of the overall EV space, what's happening with Tesla right now? Is it just they're finally hitting those economies of scale that were promised all along?
Yeah, I think economies of scale is a big part. Thank you for having me on, by the way, Brian.
No problem.
So good to come on and talk to you and your fans about EVs from a perspective, maybe from a European perspective or more global. But you're absolutely right. Tesla has been on a rip lately because they've certainly hit their stride. I will say there's a little bit of a bubble around Tesla. So, you know, haters are going to hate me in my mentions, but that's fine because I just think that so many of the fundamentals haven't changed. And yet people are kind of jumping on board. Some will want to make a quick buck with trading it, but largely, you're absolutely right. They've hit their stride and they're driving an entire industry forward. And then that's what's interesting is the automobile industry, as big as it is just a tiny fraction. Like if you look at the market capitalizations of the big automakers, and admittedly Tesla is up there, whatever they are today, like 400 and something, like 410, 412 billion.
Right, we should have checked right before recording because God only knows on a day-to-day basis.
It will have changed. It'll have, yeah, be double. But all the big car companies. But then you put them on a graph and you put them next to Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and they're just a footnote. And so what's happening is the EV industry is becoming the tech industry, and at some point someone's going to be, there's going to be lots of winners. It's not going to be one winner. But Tesla are certainly capturing that part of the mix between tech and automaker. And they happen to make cars. But there's so much going on with the company that it does justify a big evaluation.
Well, and that's specifically what we're going to talk about, is who these other winners could be. But again, as someone that maybe is not a Tesla diehard, from your perspective, is there anything that we should worry about? Is there anything on the horizons? Because I remember even a year, 2 years ago, there were things like the tax credits going away, maybe the Chinese market maybe being a problem or things like that. Is there anything on the horizon that maybe would give you pause about Tesla right now?
None whatsoever. And
okay, that's an answer, Doug.
There's just nothing about that. So, you know, even if Elon were to leave the face, because Elon goes to Mars, so let's not be morbid and say that a horrible accident happened.
Right.
In 2022, Elon achieves his dream. He goes to Mars and we say goodbye to him forever. I still think the company, the tech, the IP, the management team, the brand, it would take a knock in the way that that Apple took a knock when we said goodbye to Steve, but ultimately is a bigger, stronger company all these years later. And so there's nothing about that that I worry about. And even a couple of years ago, you're thinking, well, the other automakers could well catch up. And by the way, when they all put out press releases, they're all, in the first sentence, they were all, this is fill in the blanks plan to become the global leader in e-mobility. And from that, from the off, that it's a joke because they've got to really go some to beat Tesla. They're not going to disappear. There's also the doomsayers that are like, oh, all the existing automakers are going to disappear. They won't. They'll find new ways of doing business. But Tesla, for so many reasons, are just leading the way. And even the head of VW, as in the group, not the brand, but Herbert Diess, arrived in 2015, boss in 2018. He has gone on the record and said, Elon can take risks that we can't with 300,000 employees, and he's leading. He's not a fanboy so much, but he's saying Elon's leading and we're fast followers. And so they, like, VW know their place, but it's a beast of a company to turn around.
Well, let's start with them, the fast followers of the major automakers, just for the sake of, I think there's, I want to learn more about the startups, but so who among the major auto players is the best position right now? If you were going to say, well, they're going to be the ones that are most likely to get this and to be the most successful at EV, who would you say?
I think VW have got a really good shout because although they've done some bad things recently and their reputation has taken a knock, they do have somebody at the helm. As I say, he came from BMW, and if you like cars like the i3 and the i8, he was there at BMW when they came around, and now he's at VW turning that company into an electric car company. So they sell something like 11 million cars a year, and they've got some really ambitious goals. Admittedly, I think they should still be bigger, but when you're owned by largely a family like the Porsche and the family, even the state, like a bit of the state of Lower Saxony owns VW, and then you've got massive union pressure, what they're doing, I think, is as good as they can do. Now, the first VW ID3s were made last November, so we're heading towards those cars sitting in a big car park for the last year. And why aren't they in customers' hands? Well, they'll say that they always wanted to be on the road in summer 2020. The truth is the software wasn't finished, and the whole thing's been a real mess, and people will be under massive pressure. It's a company, anyway, that has a culture of just driving people, you know, really hard. It's ultimately what probably led to Dieselgate in terms of so much pressure. But the software's been the letdown with the ID3. It's the first car not coming to North America. It's the Golf that's not a Golf. It's the size and shape and price of a Golf, but don't call it a Golf. It's the ID3. But this sits on a platform, and this platform will be used across the group. Other companies like Ford are licensing this platform. It's called the MEB platform, and there'll be tens of millions of cars on the road using this platform, but it's not got off to a great start because it's not ready. Now, if customers want to take delivery of their ID3s in Europe, they can, and they'll be called, I think they're being called first movers, which is a way of sugaring it somewhat. In other words, you get your car now, but it's not quite ready. Look, the things that aren't, I'm being slightly cheeky, the things that aren't finished, anything like the head-up display and stuff, none of this is a deal breaker. And then if you want the software complete version, you can wait till next year. But look, how is that different to Autopilot and Tesla, which is still labeled as beta?
Right.
But Tesla as a startup have fostered this kind of reputation of, it's fine for them to do it, and yet I'm saying not VW, and so I'm being the hypocrite. Actually, well, Tesla put stuff out there that isn't ready, isn't finished, and they get praised for it.
But at the same time, they're putting stuff out there at greater volume. Like, educate me about that. Like, I'm looking at numbers that I saw right before talking to you that, like, Tesla's delivering, what, like 70,000 cars in the U.S. right now, while, like, the Bolt is doing 8,000 a year, the Leaf is doing 3,000 a year. So, like, none of the legacy automakers are doing anywhere near the EV volume that Tesla is, right?
I mean, it's just embarrassing. They did 180,000 deliveries in the first half of the year. They may well hit. They'll get towards 500,000 cars, even with COVID and 7 weeks of shutdown in California, because by that time, Shanghai was back up and running for them. And so they were still producing cars. But next year, they're going to have, with a full year of operation, they're going to have Shanghai making all those Model 3s. They got that factory done a year to the day. 6th of Jan 2019, Elon was there for the groundbreaking ceremony and the pictures. a year to the day later, customers were driving their Model 3s. And the Model Y factory, which kind of goes unreported now because it's not sexy anymore, but huge construction worker in Shanghai for Model Y, for batteries. So 300,000 cars from there. And over here in Europe, you're going to have Giga Berlin making cars by the end of the year, but customer cars by next year. So Tesla can do between 1.3 and 1.5 million vehicles by the end of next year. Layer in Texas with the Austin Gigafactory and Cybertruck, which has anything from 500,000 upwards of pre-orders, although only $100, but it still counts. And they're just unstoppable right now. The numbers are huge.
And no one else is doing even five figures.
No one's even close. Okay. So although I can say, look, I think VW have got the right idea, the Chinese company, so Tesla were the biggest EV company in the world last year. The companies behind them, like BYD, very famous for buses and commercial vehicles, and BAIC, and some big Chinese startups as well, which have got grand plans. No, in terms of numbers, no one's coming close.
What about the tech? Because, again, I was just reading before talking to you, like an analyst says that there are some people like the Audis, the Porsches of the world, where the vehicles might be superior to Tesla in a lot of ways, except in one very important piece of tech, which is the range. Is that still holding true?
I think range is king. I think there's a couple of things happening here. Range is king in people's minds, but it's not. My EV does 200 miles. Like, I've got a small city car that I drive because when am I going to do 200 miles? Like, we just do chores. And if we do a long road trip, it's not onerous to stop for 30 minutes and charge up. But the perception from people coming to from combustion cars is they need, you know, 1,000 miles whilst towing a horse box and having 8 kids in the back and, you know, not stopping for 12 hours. That's the perception. And so what Elon's done cleverly, he tweeted recently about what he thinks the new minimum range is. And he was saying, oh, I don't think you can sell an EV with 300 miles because they were dropping the base Model Y. And so we're not going to make that one anymore because it's not going to go far enough. So we think 300 miles is the base. Conveniently, no one else is really making an EV that goes that far. So again, an efficiency advantage another box they get ticked there with Tesla. But they have got competition coming,
right? Which let's get to that. And frankly, I'm just gonna, this is educate Brian time. So I've got a list of some of the others here: Rivian, Fisker, Faraday. But just tell me first, in your opinion, who should I know about other than Tesla in terms of a startup first?
Lucid every day of the week. The team there, not to bang on about Tesla, but the cohort there, largely, there's a lot of people that came from Tesla, including their CTO and CEO, who was the guy behind the Model S program back at Tesla. So they've got good people, great tech. They've gone really big on efficiency. So look out for the Lucid Air, 517 miles range.
Right. We were just talking about range anxiety, but they're 500 miles. Like they would be the first to get break that barrier, right?
Yeah, completely. And they're doing it with efficiency. So, okay, so low slung sedan, but also they've worked so hard on reducing things like the motor size, the weight. The battery is only 113 kilowatt hour usable pack, which is only slightly bigger than a Model S, which is 100 miles plus less. And so Lucid's efficiency looks like it's going to be great. Not a cheap car starting at 60, but going over 100K for that. We'll find out more on the 9th of September when they do the reveal of that car. But I really, really rate Lucid for going about their business quietly, diligently, and making a great EV. It's a high-end luxury EV, but have them on your radar.
In 2023, just 10 vulnerabilities accounted for over half of the incidents responded to by Arctic Wolf's incident response. Wouldn't you like to know how to take them off the table and make life more difficult for cybercriminals? That's just one of the essential insights you'll find inside the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 Threats Report. Authored by their elite team of security researchers, data scientists, and security development engineers, and backed by the data gained from trillions of weekly observations with thousands of unique environments, this report offers expert analysis into attack types, root causes, top vulnerabilities, TTPs, and more. Discover the attack vector behind nearly half of all successful cybercrimes, why ransom demands climbed 20% from 2023, and find out why 2024 will be an especially volatile year for cybersecurity. Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/techmeme. That's arcticwolf.com/tech meme.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? How about your customer base? How about your business on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow, whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Was just checking in on our Shopify store this morning, running flawlessly as it's done for nearly a decade now. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ride, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ride now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/ride.
Should Rivian be on my radar?
100%. Massive investment from Amazon. And Rivian, again, they've been around a long time. And they've taken many years to find their groove. But they're in their groove now. And again, a company which is going to be releasing two EVs. So trucks aren't a big deal over here. Like, we have, don't get me wrong, Europe has trucks. But we don't have the relationship you have with trucks.
Right. A lot of these companies we're talking about, they're kind of leading with pickup trucks and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't get that because we have trucks. You see them on the roads. I'm not saying they don't exist, but they're a working vehicle. And so we don't get what you have, which is people buy a truck just to go to do leisure pursuits at the weekend and use it for your regular commute. Nothing ever gets loaded in the back. So they're doing the truck, they're doing the SUV. Again, great range and really great tech with the Rivian. Not cheap cars, but a more conventional looking truck than like the Cybertruck.
Lucid was the one that took the money from the Saudi Arabian public investment fund, I think. So they got $1 billion. So you're saying that Rivian is heavily backed by Amazon?
Yeah. And again, Amazon are using that relationship to have about 10,000 Amazon electric trucks.
Right. Okay.
About
that's
that per year. There's 100,000 Amazon electric trucks by 2030. So over the next 8 years, again, not a massive run rate when you divide it by per year, if that's a linear curve as well. But again, just when Amazon put their money into something, you know that it's going to be taken really seriously. And again, a great team behind Rivian, which gives me a load of confidence and a ton of interest in those cars.
What about Faraday? Faraday was one of those ones that I heard a lot about and then I felt like I'd gotten in trouble or something.
Yeah, completely. And again, big ambitions, but they just came unstuck when they realized how much it costs to get an EV on the road, and sadly, I don't think we're going to see anything from Faraday.
Let's talk about Byton. They're a Chinese player, right?
Yeah, completely. And they're one of the Chinese players. Byton, again, have had their struggles, but recent news, they could be getting some more investment and things could be looking up there with Byton.
Then one more on my list, because I want to lead us into what you can tell me about the SPAC phenomenon, which I just learned about and listeners just learned about recently, but it's big in the car space. So is it Lordstown Motors that is the most recent one to do a SPAC? And so first tell me what Lordstown does.
They're making trucks to be used as trucks, though. So they're making the Endurance, and that is meant to be a truck that is out there and earning its keep. And again, they're one of the companies that hopefully have the funding now to bring that car to market. But it's fantastically expensive to bring an electric car to market. And so, as you say, they've increasingly found this way to try and achieve that.
And so I, you know, neither of us have backgrounds in finance or Wall Street, but for whatever reason, SPACs suddenly seem to be the method of choice for these companies to raise this capital. Like, you know, everyone forgets what an IPO is. It's not just for the founders to get rich, it's to raise capital for a young company in theory. Yeah. And so do you have any sense of, is it just everyone's like, wow, look at what Tesla's stock price has done. If we can just get a publicly traded stock, like we'll have a lot of arrows in our quiver, I guess.
Yeah, there is an element of that. So, you know, one example of that would be Fisker. So they are taking this route to market. So for anyone listening or watching, so very simply, you can do an IPO with this SPAC, and you can have investors that don't know what they're investing in, but you have the body that is then, the money is placed in a trust, and then they've got 2 or 3 years, and it's time limited, to go out and do a deal and find a company to merge with. And so that's the background that's happening here. So that happened with Fisker, for instance. They've got a great SUV. It looks great. It's called the Ocean. And Henrik Fisker is a great designer. And I think what they've done with the design of it is really good. But then to use an example of that, so in their documents, they said, well, we want to use the VW MEB platform like Ford are doing. So we'll use that platform. So we haven't got to worry about steering racks and, you know, how the car, we're just going to put the body on top and make it look like a Fisker. And the market was like, well, that's great. And then when they had to file their SEC documents and VW were like, I don't think you are. And they had to file the documents to go, oh, yeah, we're not. But we're really hopeful that VW will carry on talking to us. And if not, we'll find somebody else. And the stock price dropped. It was like 20% in a day. And it's so, like, that volatility to me doesn't say this is a steady, you know, in a way boring, but in a very steady working our way towards producing a car, which is, you know, Elon's talked about production hell at a famous quote of his. It's so hard to do this. So that's, you're right. There is a little bit of jumping on a bandwagon mm-hmm. element about this.
When we talk about, this is a sort of coming back to Tesla's lead. When we talk about anybody, a Fisker, a Rivian, whoever, coming to market in a big way, are we talking about next year? Or are we talking about 2022? Like, again, all of these things that we've seen, all these growing pains that we've seen Tesla go through over the last 5 years, that's still in store for all these guys, right?
And it's so frustrating for me because for years I've been banging on about electric cars, and now we have so much heat around them. Now, almost now, I'm like, slow down a bit, because it's not this easy to simply go, well, here's a render of a car and we're going to make loads of them and we've raised a ton of money. It's really hard. And actually, if you take VW, for instance, the ID3 is the first one. That's the Golf shaped. The ID4 is the next one. That's, if you want, a Tesla Model Y competitor. That's the one coming to the US first. But the numbers aren't going to be there. So VW of North America wants a load of the ID4s to sell, and they could be a very popular car starting at just over 30 grand. Of course, VW is still eligible for the $7,500 federal tax credit, which has expired now for Tesla and with the Chevy Bolt. And so they get those advantages, but they just won't get any of those in numbers coming to North America. They'll be made in Germany. They're being made in Anting in China. But the Chattanooga plant in the US won't start making them till 2022. So you're right, they are still 1 or 2 years away. And the same happens for the Toyota RAV4, for instance, the Prime. It's a plug-in hybrid, very, very popular. Dealers have got waiting lists. Toyota just don't want to make many of them. And so there's demand. There's a huge demand for electric cars, but a lot of these car makers aren't making enough of them.
Right, so what you're telling me is if I was in the market for an EV, and I wanted to choose between 4 or 5 different options, it's not until 2022 or 2023 that I'll really realistically have that as an option.
And yes and no. Mm. One of the things that's happened this year, so Europe introduced some new emissions regulations, and it's all to do with if you sell enough electric vehicles to balance out the fossil cars that you sell, then you haven't got to pay any of the fines. And so it's, you know, roughly every 2 EVs you sell you can sell one of your nice, big, expensive fossil cars with a nice, big, fat profit margin. And so, but that tapers down quite quickly. So for this year, a lot of the EV makers have sent all their cars to Europe, because if they don't sell enough EVs, they're going to face really big fines for selling too many fossil cars. Now, COVID might have changed that, because all car sales are down. But still, so yes, when that starts to taper down, all of a sudden, miraculously, you'll find cars available in the US.
With all of these, again, maybe not here yet, but all of these cars coming to market, what's the state of the charging networks? Is it still just a chaos of all sorts of different proprietary things?
Still too much. And you've got it good, right? Because you've mainly got Electrify America, Electrify Canada. These are the networks funded with the "you did a very bad thing" VW money. And so $2 billion invested in a charging network of 50 and 150 and 350 kilowatt DC fast chargers across North America. And so largely you've got that and some other big networks. Over here, the market's a little more established, but that means there's more of a land grab. And if I want to drive across Europe with my EV, I've got to have a wallet full of RFID cards with apps. Some of them I've got to then open my email to confirm my email address, and I just want to plug my car in. Now, that's changing, and it's changing with a technology called Plug and Charge, and that uniquely identifies your car, like the new Porsche Taycan does this with the new chargers as well. So it's basically a Tesla supercharger for everybody else. So the cars are equipped with it, the chargers are equipped with it. You plug your car in, does a little handshake, and the car identifies itself. You already have your account set up with them, just as you've got your credit card in your iTunes account, and then it just bills you. All the billing happens in the background. You plug it in, you unplug, and you go on your way. It's called Plug and Charge. It's coming to the US and to Europe as well. And you know what? We should never have been in this situation where everyone tried to get their own little their own little bit of the charging network. Somebody should have grabbed it by the scruff of the neck, but who was going to do it? Like the European Union, regulators, car makers? No one did it. And so now we're left with this mishmash, this patchwork of chargers. They will all get joined up and they'll all get smart and they will all get connected, but that's going to take a little while.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Last thing, you mentioned this right before we started recording, and it's something that I don't know if we've covered on here before, but we covered something similar, which this growing sense that you can have a piece of hardware and you might not necessarily own it. The most recent examples are the old original Sonos speakers that are now bricked. Not bricked, you can still use them, but they won't get updated. There was recently the stories that you can't load every program in the world on your Mac. There's certain things that the Apple won't. So the question is, if I buy a piece of hardware, do I actually own it? And I feel like maybe I've done a story like this with cars, but now that software is eating the auto industry, tell me about this idea of if you buy a $60,000 vehicle, you're really only owner of it so long as they deign to allow you to operate it. Like,
this is such a massive topic that doesn't get talked about enough. And this is the juxtaposition of tech and cars and over-the-air updates and 4 and 5G connected cars. And so tell me, like, what's the current... So I'm fully in the Apple ecosystem, right? I've given up. I was iPhone 2 and then that was it. And I've now absolved any responsibility for worrying about my tech. Apple now does it. But for a couple of years ago, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rebel. I'm going Android. And I bought a nice Android phone and had it for a week and was like, you know what? I spent so much money on apps. I'm just going back to Apple. So I'm in that ecosystem. Not begrudgingly, but I'm in that system. But I know people do muck about with Apple stuff. Like, what's the situation with jailbreaking? Is that community and the phone makers, are they in a sort of sort of standoff, as it, we know it happens, people jailbreak their Apple phone, but it sort of, is it like accepted in the tech community?
It's really, it's not underground, it's in the background. Early on in iPhones, jailbreaking was a bigger thing, but not only are Apple just so proactive about, as soon as someone, it's news when someone comes up with a new jailbreaking scheme that actually works, but then it'll only work for about 3 weeks. And so it's like, there are people that do it. I know people that do it, and there's that app store, is it Cydia or something like that, that people like, but it's just no one, I mean, I would say the percentages are less than 1% of people that jailbreak iPhones, even among, you know, super nerdy people. So
Okay. So it's not really like a dumb thing. But
no.
So there's a case with Tesla recently where they've got some hardware, the motors inside your Model 3 are a bit better than you need. And they said, look, we'll make your cars better for $2,000. Now, there's a third-party company that came along either with a dongle or they can... They've done something smart. There's like 300 million lines of code in an EV, but they've done something smart where they'll do that upgrade for you for $1,000. And so people did it. And Tesla found that bug and they squashed it. And so this company's told the people who have purchased it, don't do the over-the-air update, because in a game of cat and mouse, we've worked out how to get around Tesla's update. And I think a handful of people did do their over-the-air update with Tesla, and now there's a big warning on the screen that won't go away. There's also the case of a famous YouTuber called Rich Benoit, Rich Rebuilds. Now, he likes to recycle, reuse. It's a good thing for the planet, right? So Tesla want to save the planet, reduce carbon emissions. So he found a car that was otherwise going to be written off and got it back on the road. He's an engineer, and so his first point was, I can't buy these parts from Tesla. Tesla won't sell me the parts. And then when he finally, after a campaign, got hold of those and got the car back on the road, not only did Tesla turn off via over-the-air updates, supercharging, which I kind of get, right? So I understand that. So the supercharging network, no one was going to build a fast charging network around the world. So Tesla did, right? That's theirs and that's fine. And they turned it off remotely on his car because they said, we don't know how you've repaired this car. And now there is a scheme where you can take it to them and they'll approve. Anyway, but they also turned off fast charging completely. So are they allowed to do that? Well, I'm right. Waiting for a landmark law case where someone says, look, I've bought this phone.
Right.
So if I want to take the back off, muck about with it, put a bigger battery in, Apple aren't going to then say, we're turning off the charging ability or...
Hey, wait. Don't say never. I mean,
yeah, like don't say never, right?
Yeah, listen.
So that's where we are. But on the other hand, so Tesla obviously are aiming for robo-taxis. Like they want to go for fully autonomous. So, you know, level 4. There's 5 levels of agreed autonomy, 0 to 5. Level 4, let alone 5, is there is no steering wheel or pedals in the car. And they want to get to level 5. So you, literally, these are robo-taxis. You have nothing. There's no interface. They take you. They're doing it all with cameras. So to do that, they need a massive kind of back-end, like a supercomputer. They're talking only in the last couple of weeks about this exaflop supercomputer at FP32, which is one of the fastest. They've been working on it for 2 years and will be one of the fastest supercomputers in the world. That is going to be training their neural net so that all these little edge cases of a dog running out and someone crossing the road, it's going to be able to recognize all of, apart from just highway driving, which it'll do now. So actually, if I'm going to be getting in a car that is potentially looking after my life, do I want someone mucking about with it? It's a bigger debate than just, they turned off my charging.
Well, you know, I get that, but again,
I want them in control so that no one's mucking, like hackers, and no one's mucking about with this.
Well, and certainly, and then that gets to the larger question of, well, there won't be car ownership as we understand it in however many years. But for the interim, you know, again, like the idea, it would be insane if you did something to your phone that Apple didn't like and they wouldn't let you charge it. It's also insane on this, you know, for most people, your car is your second biggest asset. So that the fact that you don't really have control over that asset, like I especially in the interim where we're not at level 4 or 5 yet, like that does seem insane to me. And there needs to be a court case to settle, like, whose rights are whose at this
point. Yeah, who owns this car? So if Elon changes his mind one morning and wants to send an over-the-air update. So it's a part of a bigger debate about how much do you give up? It's like giving up personal data. So how much are you giving up for something in return? So Tesla Insurance is in California. They just registered a company in China only recently. They're going to be having Tesla Insurance, you know, I imagine at some point around the world. Every Tesla customer can get Tesla Insurance. That's because of all the cameras on the car and all the sensors on the car. So that at every moment, at any time when you're driving that car, it'll know how hard you're pushing the accelerator, how hard you're braking, how hard you're cornering. Your insurance price can be reflected on how safe a driver you are.
Right. We have done stories about that, yes.
Right? So yeah. How much data? Those cars are high performance. Like Teslas are quick, they're fun to drive. But what, if I want to get a cheap insurance price, they know everything about me that I actually have to drive like a grandma to get cheaper insurance. So at what point do you want a connected product that is in a way always umbilically linked to the mothership? And that's, with cars, something that we've, you know, because they've been shipped by the car makers, they arrive in your driveway, and if you want to take off the exhaust and put some big, you know, big boy racer or big wheels or mod it, or like modding PCs and stuff, like that yeah. is, that it has been the way forever. And so
And that's the culture of, that's a car culture that it would take, there would be a lot of kickback on that if people were like, you can't do that anymore.
Well, you can't. You simply can't do that with it. You can't do something with a Tesla that they don't approve of and they don't like, or they'll just turn it off. So that's where we are now. At some point, that's going to get resolved when someone says, "I challenge you to this," and I don't know where it's going to end up. But generally, it's where EVs are going, though, right? We want our cars to be fully connected. We go and charge them wherever we are. We plug them in. It just works. All of that relies on a level of a relationship with the people who sold you your car, more than simply taking it back to the dealer once a year for an oil change. So this is, we are in the first couple of years of a new era of how our relationship with how we get around. And again, you know, that's part of the whole kind of e-scooter, e-bike, e-car, what we're going to experience over the next 10 and 20 years. It's really exciting, but so many hurdles to overcome.
Well, listen, don't ask my wife about the, we just got a car for the first time in 10 years, and I have 6 speeding tickets in the first 3 weeks, because here in New York City, they have the camera and for stuff. So 2 weeks later in the mail, I get a little thing, hey, we caught you, and here's a picture of you going 4 miles over the speed limit here at this intersect, you know. So talk about driving like a grandma here in Brooklyn. I have been forced to drive like a grandma. So guess what, everybody, it's coming for you too. Listen, Martin, that was beautiful. If you, this is one of those episodes where it's educate Brian. If you want to be educated, it sounds like I need to listen to the EV News Daily podcast.
Right. Okay. So I'm probably more passionate than most people about electric cars, but I'm not a kind of a single-minded cult member. I do appreciate there's, you know, pros and cons, but if you want to come and have a conversation, that I do a daily podcast. I launched it. I've done 860 of them. So
I just passed 700. So we're in similar cohorts there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was February. You were the March. And
there
when you started that, it was like an endorsement of the model, because everyone said you are mad. Because I was 7 days a week for a long time, and everyone said you are mad to do a 20-minute podcast about electric cars every day. And then when you started yours, I was able to go, well, look, this guy's been podcasting for ages. And he's doing it, so I can't be that wrong. And so, no, it's called EV News Daily, and it's, look, if you happen to know a podcast that is like a TLDR of the tech world that you get for your journey home every day, it's very similar to that, but it's all about electric cars. And subscribe and come and say hi on socials, and I put the audio on YouTube, and I just love having that chat with you, wherever you are in that stage of the EV curve, like whether you're still a skeptic or whether you've bought a car, and we'll talk about all those things.
Well, Martin, I think the real answer is anyone that does a daily podcast is insane, but you have the advantage of having an actual proper radio voice, and you clearly know your stuff. So I am going to subscribe today. I promise you.
You're a good man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.